Good morning, everyone. My name is Dave Fern, and I'll be leading us this morning in our message and worship time together. So on behalf of the leadership at First Presbyterian Church Papakura, we invite you to join with us here this morning from wherever you are around the area. Of course, we would love to be all together in church, but that's not possible at the moment. But it's wonderful that we can still share this, knowing that all of us can enjoy it together at the same time or whichever time is convenient for you. I'm using Zoom to record this for the first time, so there might be a few little teething problems as we get used to this new way of transitioning between the music and the PowerPoint. So I hope everything goes okay. If there are any small little teething problems, please bear with me. Let me pray, and then after that, I'm going to go into the first song. We thank you, dear Father, that we can come to you this morning, as indeed we can come to you at any time. Lord, you know our current situation. We can't physically meet together, but we thank you for the technology that enables us to meet still together in a different way. Thank you for this technology, and we pray that everything will work smoothly today and that people will be able to focus on you. My prayer today, Lord, as we look at your word and worship you, is that our hearts and our minds will be led to focus on you, that by your Holy Spirit, you will speak to us, you will lead us, you will teach us, you will encourage us. So please, Lord, bless this time together, and may you be glorified through all that happens today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start with a beautiful song, Amazing Grace, and there are some words on the screen before the song starts. I'm going to read those as they come for the benefit of those who are listening on the audio. For God so loved the world that he truly saved a wretch like me. I'm so undeserving of God's love. I have turned my back on him time and time again in my life. Yet his love for me is steadfast. Did he not leave the 99 sheep and go in search of the one? I am that one. And this is my story. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved. My fears really
Sorry for the typos on the screen there. I couldn't do anything about that. That was a video from YouTube. But I hope you enjoyed that. It's beautiful harmony and beautiful words. God's amazing grace for us. So as I said, my name is Dave Fern, and welcome to this message. I'm going to be doing a two-part series called Six Ways That God Sustains Us, one today and one next Sunday. So I'll be looking at three of those ways today and another three. Of course, that doesn't mean there are only six ways that God sustains us. God can sustain us in many, many different ways. I'm just going to be focusing on six of those. And thinking of God sustaining us, I just want to get very clear in our mind what the word sustain means. We hear about sustainable energy. One of those kinds of energy is wind farms. I've got a few photos here. I'm sure some of you can guess where this place is. You've probably seen it when you've been driving down south towards the capital. Yes, that's right. That's Wellington there. Next place, I don't expect many of you will know where it is. I used to live and work in North Wales in a town called Rhyl. And in the sea, they've set up this wind farm to produce electricity. This next one I just chose because it's a beautiful photograph. You can probably guess the country from the beautiful tulips there. It's the place Flevoland in the Netherlands. The beginning of last year, just before COVID came, we went to visit family in Taiwan. And when we were on the train, we actually went past this wind farm in a place called Taichung in Taiwan. So wind farm is a kind of sustainable energy. Another kind of sustainable energy is solar panels. You can see adverts for these all over the place, different companies trying to get your business, trying to encourage you to get solar panels because it's sustainable and cheaper. You might have these tiny little solar lights in your garden, or in the top left picture, some huge, huge ones can produce a lot of electricity. Of course, there's food, different kinds of foods that sustain us by providing energy that doesn't get used up quickly. I wonder if you can think, what are some foods that sustain us? Have a quick think now. I've chosen just a few, but again, there are many. Kumara are sweet potatoes. Bananas. Most kinds of nuts, avocados, brown rice, apparently sustains you more than white rice. Water, of course, we couldn't live without water. One of my favorites, a lovely salmon. And eggs, however you want to cook them, tortured or perfect. And dark chocolate. Yes, that has to be there. Remember, dark chocolate, not any kind of chocolate. These are all good foods. They sustain us. Those of you who are pianists or have had much to do with music will know that pianos have the sustain pedal. If we were in the church building, I'd ask Kevin or Nolene or Timothy to go to the piano and play a chord for us and to hold down the sustain pedal. And you would hear that the note would continue. So the sustain pedal just keeps the sound going until you take your foot off that pedal. We hear about sustainable development. So developing in ways that can keep going. So the verb is to sustain, and the adjective is sustainable. So what does sustain mean? In case we're not clear, it's always good to look to the dictionary. So the dictionary says if you sustain something, you continue it or maintain it for a period of time. If something sustains you, it supports you by giving you help, strength, or encouragement. And I know I need that. It's always good to get help, strength, and encouragement. Another definition, to keep up the strength or energy of someone. That was from the Collins Online Dictionary. So when do we need to be sustained? One time, of course, is when we're tired. I'm sure we can all relate to times when we're really tired. We just need some more energy to keep us going. When we're discouraged, could be just as part of normal daily life, problems come along. Things don't turn out the way we want them to be, maybe even now in lockdown. Could be when we feel weak. It could be physically or emotionally, when we're worried about something. Sometimes it's very easy for us to worry. Our minds just go over and over things again, and we can worry. We need God to sustain us in those times. When we're stressed, again, how easy is it to be stressed? Different things can come and overtake our mind and our thinking. Sometimes we just feel overwhelmed. Oh, everything is too much for me. Sometimes just plain and simple, like hungry. We need to be sustained. In more difficult circumstances, we might be oppressed. Or there are times when we feel afraid. All of those times, and I'm sure in many more, and you could add your own to that list, we need to be sustained. Is that you or me at times? You can't answer me, of course, but I'm sure in your own minds you can think of times when you need to be sustained. Which brings me to our passage today. I've been reading through the Psalms, just working my way slowly through them, and found such amazing things in the Psalms. And I want to share a few thoughts now from Psalm 54. It's a short psalm. I'm going to read the verses for you. Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. This was a serious situation for David. He was actually fearing for his life, very literally. In 1 Samuel 26:2, it says, Saul went at once with 3,000 of the best soldiers in Israel to the wilderness of Ziph to look for David and camped by the road on Mount Hachilah. David was still in the wilderness. David had good reason to be afraid, with 3,000 of the best soldiers coming after him. What did David do in this difficult situation? He immediately looked to God for help. He didn't gloss over the seriousness of it all. That's when he prayed those verses, Save me, O God, hear my prayer. He really cried out to God. And then we get this one beautiful verse, this gem in the middle of the psalm. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Just move that out of the way. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. David was clearly able to say those words with confidence. If we look at the words, it's very, very clear on the way he was feeling. Surely, no doubt in his mind. Surely, who is my help? Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. His focus was very clearly on God. He knew that God would help him. He knew that God is the one who sustains him. So how can we say the same as David? How does God sustain us? That's what I want to know. I want to know that in my life. We need to see what else the Bible says. And as I said at the beginning, we're going to look this week and next week at six different ways from the Bible that we can see that God sustains us. For the first one, I'm going to go back to the Old Testament again, to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. I'm not going to read the whole story, just some of these verses. Elijah had just had an amazing victory. God had shown him that he was indeed Lord when he defeated all the prophets of Baal, the prophets that were worshipping the idols, and shown that God was indeed Lord. But then the current king and queen had said that they were going to kill Elijah, and he ran away. And here we find him in this chapter. It's a pretty desperate situation. Elijah prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. That's pretty serious, isn't it? All at once, an angel touched him and said, Get up and eat. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel came a second time and touched him and said, Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled on. So area one, where God sustains us, is very simply in our daily needs. Elijah was having a really bad day, a really grumpy day. Lord, take my life. I've had enough. What did God do? He sent an angel and very simply provided him with food, provided with him with drink, and enabled him to sleep. And to be honest, sometimes that's exactly what we need. When we're tired and we're hungry, life sometimes just seems so much worse. God is very practical. He knows what we need. One way that God sustains us is by looking after our daily needs, just those simple things. We can praise God that we've got the things that we need. He knows those things. When we look in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, he's talking about when the Israelites came out of Egypt and were wandering in the desert. And we find these verses in Nehemiah chapter 9, 19 to 21. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. God provided for the people's daily needs. The food is there, the manna, the water is there for them to drink. God knew what they needed, and he took care of them in the desert. We can be sure that God too would take care of us. That word sustain in the Greek is chu, which primarily suggests to measure out a provision of food, that is, to provide. Interestingly, the same word is similar in Chinese. Chu means to eat. So that's the first area that God wants to look after us and sustain us. The second area I want to focus on is in worry. Do you worry sometimes? It's very easy for us to worry and have that sentence in our mind beginning with, oh, what if? What if this happens? Or what if that happens? How am I going to cope? Studies have shown that more than 90% of what we worry about actually never happens. But we still like to worry sometimes. Our minds get very busy. 1 + 1 = 100 already in our minds. And we've just made situations get worse by playing over them in our minds again and again and again. Or is that only me that does that sometimes? I don't think so. Jesus says in Matthew 6, a famous passage about worry. Again, I'm not going to read all the verses. If you want to read later, it's Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Some beautiful verses to meditate on. But Jesus says in there, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Then we get the key sentence here. People tell us not to worry, but they don't really have any reason for us not to worry. But we do, because the Bible says, your Heavenly Father knows. The reason we don't need to worry is because God is our Heavenly Father. He loves us, and he knows our situation. He knows what we need. I've always liked this verse in 1 Peter 5, verse 7. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Anxiety, of course, is a synonym for worry. So it says we can cast or throw all of our care onto him. Why? Because we know he cares for us. We can trust him with our worries. But Lord, I've got this problem. It's okay, my child. I understand. I already know. Give me your worries. Let me carry them, and let me carry you. A similar verse in Psalms, which I hadn't noticed before until I prepared this study. In Psalm 55, verse 22, it also says, cast your cares on the Lord. Cares here is the same root word as worries or anxieties. It says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. God promises to sustain us. When we're worried, we need to come to him. Give him those worries. Talk to him about them. Include him in the worries. It doesn't mean the problems will all go away. I don't believe that. But God promises to be with us in the midst of those problems. So if you're in that situation now where you're worrying about something or someone or some situation, bring it to God. Give it to him. And say, thank you, Lord, that you know me. You know my worry. You know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm feeling. Please carry me. Please sustain me. The third area I want to talk about when God sustains us is when I'm too busy. Again, the question, is that you or is that me? Sometimes we seem to hear a lot of people saying, I'm so busy. Isn't it ironic that we've got so many labor-saving devices in our houses nowadays? They're all invented to save us time, so we've got so much more free time. But it seems most people you ask say they're busy. It's not nice sometimes when you're so busy you don't have time to think almost. But God again is with us in this area. Jesus knew a lot about being busy. When he walked the earth, especially when he started his public ministry at age 30, he was busier probably than most of us are. In Luke 5, 15 to 16, it says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. That sounds pretty busy to me, people crowding around wanting his attention. So Jesus knew what it was like to be busy, but the verses don't end there. It says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. That's how God is going to sustain us when we're busy. We need, like Jesus, to often, not just once in a while, to often withdraw to lonely or quiet places and pray. Get our focus back on God. I know myself, sometimes I'm really, really busy. I've got lots to do, and I wonder, how am I going to fit in time with God? But I know, even though I don't always get it right, I know that's the wrong thinking. I should never be too busy to pray. The prayer should come first, and then that will give me the strength I need to get on with the other things that I need to do. Important things, but the priority, like Jesus, should be to go away by ourselves, if that's possible, to a quiet place. And to pray. This is a famous hymn by William Longstaff written in the 1880s. I haven't included all the words of the verses, but it's saying the same idea. Take time to be holy. Speak oft or often with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. God will sustain us in our busy times if we spend time alone with him, just as Jesus did. Can I encourage you? Hopefully you've got a little bit more time during lockdown. Take some time to be, as the hymn says there, to be in secret, to be with Jesus alone. Drink in the peace that only he can bring. Spend time at the feet of Jesus, just talking with him, enjoying him. Let that give you the strength to sustain you. I know myself, even in the midst of a busy time, when I do get that time with God, it just settles my mind. It settles my heart. If I'm busy or troubled, I get peace by going to spend time alone with God. So a quick recap. This whole area of God sustaining us is a huge area, but God promises in his word to sustain us. And the first three ways I've looked at today, the first one is just very practical. God provides us with food and drink and sleep in a very practical way to keep us going. Look after yourselves during this lockdown. Make sure you have enough to eat and drink and sleep. If you know friends who are struggling to be able to go to the supermarket, show some Christian love and just be a good neighbor and help them, maybe do some shopping for them. God can use us too in that process. The second one, another big area, easier said than done sometimes, of course, but we need to cast or throw our worries onto God. Remember, it says he will sustain us. He knows already what we need and he cares for us. He loves us. And the third one, God promises to sustain us when we go to him, when we spend time alone with him. And that's true even more so when we are busy. So that's my encouragement for us all this week. And I'll leave us as we finish this first session, the part one, with that verse. And I'm going to read it a few times and I'm going to emphasize the wording. That's one way that I use in my own quiet time, my own Bible study. Look at the words and put a different emphasis on them because it helps to get the verse in my mind. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Apply that to your own life, dear friends, dear church family. Surely God is your help. The Lord is the one who sustains you. Amen. Let's pray again. We thank you, Lord, for your word. There are so many beautiful stories in your word that talk about you loving us, you caring for us, you sustaining us, giving us that strength to keep going. I pray, Lord, that we will know, like David in this psalm, that surely you are our helper. You are the one who sustains us. Help us to come to you, Lord, for the rest that we need, to give you our worries, and to be able to spend time alone with you, to draw strength from you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious promises. In Jesus' name. I want to close the message now with a more modern song, just to help us to close off this time. As some of you know, I work a lot with Korean students, and I love when the Koreans do their worship dances. This is not just a Korean group, but it's a group of young people doing a dance to a song. So I hope that you enjoy this. And after this, I'll close the video. And I hope you've enjoyed this time. And I look forward to sharing part two with you again next week.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song. Singing when the evening comes. you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the
Okay, thank you very much. Enjoy your week. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe. Look after each other. And we'll see you again next week. Thank you. God bless you, and bye-bye.